After he was conceived, his mother had a vision in which a giant statue of a Tibetan deity called Avalokiteshvara, who is the Buddha of compassion, she had a vision where a mountain-high figure of Avalokiteshvara was above her. It was as big as a mountain, and it slowly descended. And as it came toward her, it got smaller and smaller and smaller. And it entered the top of her head, right at the top of the head. And his father had a vision in which another Buddhist deity called Vajrapani shot a lightning bolt into the mother, the pregnant mother. Vajrapani has to do with slaying the demon host. And as all this was occurring and Tsongkhapa was being born, the man who was to be his first teacher was wandering about Tibet, and he saw an emanation. Like light emanates from us, the sun. He saw an emanation coming down of Manjushri. And Manjushri is the Buddha of wisdom and discrimination. And this man saw an emanation of Manjushri coming down. And he knew where it was coming down to. So he went directly to Tsongkhapa's house and offered his father gifts, telling him that he had a son who was would become an embodiment of Manjushri, Avalokiteshvara, the wisdom of compassion, and Vajrapani, the slayer of the demon host. And none of these visions would have been visible to you or me. So these weren't things that occurred on the physical plane that were seen. But nonetheless, they were seen. At the age of 3, Tsongkhapa was taken to a monastery where he took what were called the layman's vows. So he took his first vows at the age of 3. And he proceeded to go into extremely deep states of meditation without having been taught how to do so, such that he was able to make contact with some of these bodhisattvas, three of whom we've mentioned. And at the age of 7, he was taken to another monastery and given his vows as a novice. First vows were as a layman. Second vows as a novice. Now, for an ordinary human being in Tibet at that time, you might take your layman's vows when you're 28 or so. You may or may not progress far enough to take the novice vows in that lifetime. So he's taking his novice vows at 7. And at 7, the man who saw an emanation of Manjushri coming down and went and offered gifts to Tsongkhapa's parents, at 7, this man became Tsongkhapa's teacher. And he was his teacher until he was 16. And at which point, this is all happening in a small area in eastern Tibet. And when he was 16, his teacher took him to Lhasa, of which most of you probably heard. It's where the Dalai Lama's palace is. At 16, he was taken by his teacher to Lhasa and took the what's called the Bodhisattva vows in front of a statue of the Buddha. And in parting, because his teacher was going to stay where Tsongkhapa was born. In parting, his teacher gave him instructions on 5 different deities. And you have to take this kind of metaphorically. Otherwise, it's not an anthropomorphic thing. But he gave him instruction to meditate on 5 particular deities, 3 of whom we've mentioned, each of which would give him perseverance, discrimination, right effort, length of life, etc. And now he's 16 and he goes to a monastery where somebody in the Karmapa tradition gives to him what's called the bodhicitta. He's 16 years old now. He's given the bodhicitta, which is said to be the seed of enlightenment expressed as altruism. So at 16, he's given a seed of enlightenment expressed as altruism. He's also given something called the Mahamudra, which is the seal of perfection. And he's taught to become a physician. So by the age of 17, he was an accomplished physician, able to cure anything. Just a little more of this itinerary is helpful here. During this time, he'd been studying the philosophies and the sutras of the different lineages. And by the age of 19, he was a renowned scholar in Tibet. And he met a man called Rendawa, R-E-N-D-A-W-A, at 20, who would be his lifelong companion, spiritual companion. And Rendawa conveyed to him the essence of Buddha's middle way. And his relationship with Rendawa, which he made into a kind of an archetype of his teaching, was that in some respects he was Rendawa's teacher, and in other respects Rendawa was his teacher. So it was a dialectical relationship rather than a linear back and forth relationship. Once he began teaching Buddhist philosophy, his reputation spread throughout Tibet. And his travels alone, it said, would constitute an entire book, just to write down everywhere he went, all of which is recorded. But it would take a book just to give an account of all of his travels, all within Tibet, but all over, back and forth, here and there. And his method was always the same. He went to a particular monastery or to a particular lineage, or the head of a particular lineage, or to the one person who knew one text, who was the only person who knew that text, or the one person who knew one book and is the only person in Tibet who knew that book. In other words, he went to the top people in every lineage and studied what they had available and mastered it. And some of you are familiar with all the different lineages, or, you know, there are a lot of different lineages in Tibet. By the age of 20, Tsongkhapa had mastered all the lineages. That doesn't mean he had in his head all the teachings. He had that, but he'd mastered the practices of all the lineages. And it's rare for a person to master the practice of one lineage. That's why there's a guy at the top, and he's the guy who's mastered that practice. So Tsongkhapa mastered the practices of all the lineages. And